You take your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're looking at verses 1 and 2 this morning. The apostle says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Faith. The title of the message is Faith, the evidence of things unseen. Faith. What is the hope then of faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So what then is the hope of faith? Well, our hope, the believer's hope, is in God. The believer's hope is in God. It is in the covenant promises of God. That God by grace chose us in Christ before the world began. Our hope is in that Christ died to redeem us from our sins. Our hope is in the Holy Spirit who has quickened us to life and keeps us in this grace of faith firm unto the end. Our hope, our expectation is a future glory. Our hope. So then, faith is the foundation upon which hope is built. Now remember, hope is no vain wish. It's not, gee, I hope so. But hope is a solid confidence of things that God has promised. We are confident of our election. We are confident of God's covenant mercies. We are confident that Christ's blood is sufficient to atone for our sins. We are confident that the Spirit of God has taken residence in our mortal body, and we hope, we anticipate that when we die, we shall be ushered in to the glorious presence of Christ. Now then, that is our confidence. But what is the foundation of such confidence? It is not that we're arrogant. This is not presumptuous. But the foundation of our hope is what? Faith. Faith is the foundation of our hope. The Holy Spirit in the previous chapter gives us a clear understanding and instruction in the grace of faith. He says, now that Christ has died, now that the covenant promises have been given, now that you have access to God, he says this, exercise it. He says, draw near to God. How? By faith. Stand on that hope, that confidence that God who promised cannot lie. Consider one another, not forsaking the assembling, so that you might receive boldness and confidence. This is what the assembly does, is that by the preaching of the gospel, we are comforted. We are exhorted to continue in faith, hope, and love. We are exhorted. That's what the Spirit of God has done previously in this previous chapter. That true faith in Christ, that everyone who has true faith in Christ, which is bestowed upon the elect and the redeemed, is an experimentally unites us to Christ. That's what unites us to Christ in our experience. Is this matter of faith? Faith. True faith. True faith unites us to Christ experimentally. Now, we know this as believers in Christ. We know we were united with Christ in eternity. Scripture says that God, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. And listen, in Christ. According as He had chosen us in Christ. Before the foundation of the world. So you, believer, were united with Christ from eternity. You were in union with your substitute. And I tell you, you were in union with Christ, your substitute, as He died for your sins, as He lived according to the obedience of the law and obtained our righteousness. You were in union with Him. You were. Yet, by nature, when we were born into this world, we were not in union with Christ. Not by nature. By nature, we were in union with Adam. That's where we were in union. We were in union with his race. We're the sons of a fallen race. But the appointed time when God quickened us by the Holy Spirit, what happened? We were given a new nature. A new nature. Paul in Ephesians chapter 4 says that we should put on the new man, that new nature. When you're born again, you're given a new nature. And Paul exhorts us as believers to put on that new nature. Put off the old and put on the new. And then he describes it, this new nature. He says, which is created. You get that? You were not in union when you were born, experimentally in union with Christ, though you were spiritually in union, you had no idea of it. You knew nothing of the election of God. You knew nothing of the redemption of Christ until when? Until God created a new nature in us. And this nature is created, Paul says, in righteousness and true holiness, which is after God. See then, we who were people of one nature are now people of two natures. You have the old nature and you have the new. Yet you're one person. Nobody's saying you're two different people. You're one person, but you have two natures residing in you. The old nature, which is born of flesh. Remember, that's what Jesus said about this new birth. He said, that which is born of flesh is what? Flesh. That old nature is just as old and just as vile as he was the day he was born. He's corrupt. He's vile. He doesn't enjoy the things of God, doesn't want the things of God. He is an old man. But God creates in us a new nature that is holy, which is the nature after the image of Jesus Christ. We have this nature created in us, imparted to us. And this nature was made by Christ. It's made by His righteousness. Scripture says, even the righteousness of God, which is by the faith of Jesus Christ, unto and upon all them that what? Believe. You see now then where faith comes in. Faith. By faith, we see that we have been given a new nature. The proof of this genuine union with Christ that is given to us by God is faith. And Paul says, if you have true faith, if you are in true union with Christ, he said in the previous chapter, we are not of them that draw back into perdition. We are not of them that draw back. In fact, all the troubles of life and the trials of our faith all of the providence of time and eternity will never remove us from the love of God, but rather draw us to God. The trials of our faith, the afflictions of our bodies and minds and souls only do one thing. They draw us closer to God. Therefore, as Paul says, as you have received Christ, so walk in Him. How did you receive Christ? You who do believe, how did you receive Christ? Was it not by faith? It was by faith. You received Him by faith. Even so, how are you to walk? By faith. in Christ. And see, that's the whole point of Paul's encouragement here to true believers, that as you are made in union with Christ, which is evidenced by your faith in Christ, even so we are to walk by this same faith in Christ. Paul says, rooted and built up in Him, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. You have been taught by the Holy Spirit to do what? Believe on Christ. You have been taught, even because you have been given faith to believe. And if this is genuine faith, it will always continue to believe. And only the trials of this life cause us to root deeper into Christ by faith. Root down. You know, when the sun is out, what keeps the plants alive? It's the roots. If the roots run deep, that's where they receive their nourishment and moisture. And though the outside seems to be dried up, they are still living. And so it is with us. The outside, we get dry, we get cold, we get indifferent. But God says the faith of the elect roots down deeper into Christ. And it also builds upon Christ. And so Paul says, beware lest any man spoil you through vain philosophy and vain deceit after traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. This not only includes the heathen religion and worldly wisdom, but the law of Moses. Paul warns us. He says, as you receive Christ, how did you receive Christ? By faith. How are you to walk? By faith. And don't be deceived by anybody else trying to impute law unto you. Beware of them that try to move you from this one thing, faith in Christ. Don't fall for it. Don't fall for it. Thus we are called, as Paul says in the previous chapter before our text, in verse 38, how then shall these who believe in Christ, who have experimentally been made in union with Christ, how then are they to live in this world? Look at that, verse 38. Now the just shall live by faith. Don't complicate it. How are you to live today? By faith. By faith. We are called to live by faith in Christ continually and never revert back to law or trust in the vanity of religious exercises. In our text, now we see the very nature of faith in our text. And how it is linked to the covenant of grace. He says, now faith. This faith that vitally unites us to Christ. This faith by which we endure and live by. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now remember, believers, we are made partakers of the covenant of God's grace. You are made partakers of the covenant of God's grace. Through the election of the Father, the redemption of Christ, and the calling of the Holy Spirit. But now, through faith in Christ, we hope, we anticipate to receive all that God has promised. Paul says in Romans 5, he says, we have access to God by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So Paul in our text gives us not only the definition of faith, but he also links this faith with things that are not tangible. Do you get that? Paul says faith is the substance of things hoped for. things anticipated. And we're supposed to be going on a trip. We go back to Texas and visit our family. And so what are we doing now? We are anticipating it, right? We're waiting for it. Do I have it? Is it a reality yet? Have I experienced? No, otherwise I would not wait for it. I would not have to hope for it because I would have it. So this hope is something that is not tangible. It is not something you can see or touch, but it is something invisible. It is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. So the definition of faith is this. Faith has to do with invisible things. Invisible things. Hope is a rock solid confidence of an invisible thing. It's a thing not yet realized or experienced as it is promised. Back in Romans 8, Paul says, we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience, with faith, wait for it. Remember the Old Testament, it was very visible, wasn't it? It was something tangible. It was something you could see, you could touch, you could smell. It was very visible, the Old Covenant. The ceremonies, the rites, the rituals were very public displays. They were glorious. And surely the sights and smells and sounds were vivid to the senses of men. Which things were only vivid, these vivid types were only meant to be a picture of something that they could not see, something they could not touch. Christ. That's what all of these things, these sights and sounds and smells and tastes, they all were to picture Christ, who they have not seen. But having fulfilled these things, Jesus having fulfilled and obtained the righteousness and redemption, being all our wisdom and sanctification, He is the end of these things, these outward ceremonies, visible pictures of the law. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, he says, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. The law and all its visible tabernacle are forever removed. Seeing Jesus by His one offering has fulfilled them, has become the end of them. Thus the high priest of our new covenant is not seen. Faith has to do with invisible things. Did you see Christ? Were you there when He died? Did you see Him raised from the dead? No. So faith has to do with invisible things, such as Christ. We have not seen Him. We have not touched Him. Our high priest has entered into the heavens. He is not seen because He has passed into the presence of God to intercede for us. Yet, this lost religious world still seeks to be saved and find assurance by tangible and visible rituals and ceremonies and traditions. Isn't that natural? That men want to feel and see and touch something. But you listen, that has nothing to do with faith. Faith has everything to do with things that are not seen. in our text, the very nature of faith and how it is linked to the new covenant is in things not seen. True faith looks then to invisible and unseen things, such as the eternal counsel of God. We look at the covenant promises of God in Christ. Our faith rests in the eternal, immutable decrees of our sovereign, omnipotent God, which we have not seen. You see, our faith rests in God and His promises. He swore by Himself that He would save His people by Jesus Christ. And so you who believe, you have fled to Him that you have not seen. You have fled to Christ for refuge. And so your faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, in that you laid hold of Christ, invisible to our eyes, intangible to our flesh, and yet He is more real to us than anything else. Faith clings to that which is not seen. True faith, that is. Therefore, the earthly feel-good worship, the beautiful buildings, the eloquent artwork of men may delight the senses, but are completely irrelevant to the worship of God that is done in spirit and in truth. Now we are prone to try to create such an atmosphere of worship, aren't we? Men manipulate things, sights and sounds and smells, in order to what? To promote worship. No. True worship is without those things. True worship is in spirit and in truth. God seeketh to those that were to worship Him in spirit and in truth, not in outward ceremony or ritual. We're prone to this and we've got to watch out for it. Let our hearts and minds rather be set on the invisible Christ. Set your affection on what? Things above and not on things of the earth. That's true faith. That is what it is to walk by faith. It is to set our eyes on things that are not seen. Peter said to us who believe, whom having not seen, you love. In whom though now you see Him not, yet believing through faith, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So what then is the joy of the believer? It is faith in Christ. That's our joy. That's our comfort. That is the substance of our hope. Is our faith in this one that we love, though we've not seen Him. Yet though we haven't seen Him yet, we rejoice through faith in Him with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So then, without faith, we cannot rejoice in the unseen hope of God's covenant promises. A man may have hope of heaven. He may entertain vain dreams of acceptance with God. But without faith in Christ, his hope is empty. Hundred out of 100 surveyed all think they're going to heaven. Now, what are they basing that on? Something seen. Most of them are basing it on something they've done, something they see, something they felt, something they did. Well, I had this experience. This thing happened to me, and it was, I saw a bright light from heaven. What are they experiencing? They are trusting something that is seen. That is not faith. and therefore they have no hope. But we trust not in the experience of things, the circumstance of things. We trust in Christ whom we have not yet seen. Our faith is not in tangible things, but invisible things. Invisible things. So then, how then do we know we are saved? How do we know that we are the elect of God and the redeemed of Christ? How do we know our hope is not vain? I tell you, you should examine yourself concerning this. You should not be deceived. What is your confidence of going to heaven? What is your hope? How do you know that you can have these things? You listen to the words of this. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Listen, you listen. Evidence of things not seen. So what is the evidence that my hope is genuine, that my hope is founded, that I'm going to glory? What is this? Faith in Christ. There's my evidence. Faith. It is by faith we may understand the unseen realities of God. Faith is the spiritual insight and discernment. By nature, man is blind and cannot know or see the things of God. But once we are quickened by the Spirit of God, we see what? That we are bankrupt, that we are utterly ruined, totally corrupt and depraved. We are without hope, without merit to save ourselves. And you listen, such discernment is not natural. You see, God must show us these things. See, a man cannot see these things. They're invisible, so he doesn't have any trust in it. He doesn't see himself depraved. He doesn't see himself without hope. He sees that he has some hope in himself, some goodness in himself. But when God quickens a man, he is open to see that he has no hope in himself. But see, such discernment alone is not enough. The devils understand that, don't they? They understand that they're damned. They understand that they're wicked. But the element of trust is vital. The element of trust is vital. Trusting in Christ. Saving faith beholds that in Christ alone is all the hope of salvation. In Christ, His blood and righteousness alone is the full assurance of hope. The abundance of grace and eternal life and peace with God. Thus, true faith trusts in the Savior, Jesus Christ alone. We will not and cannot go to any other person or place. We cannot and will not ever trust in any merits of the flesh or men. This is true faith. And true faith is the evidence of our salvation. True faith is the evidence of our salvation. So then faith is the substance, the evidence of things hoped for and those things not seen. And all our faith then rests upon Jesus Christ. And this is the only evidence I have of my saving interest of my hope and saving interest of Christ. It is faith in Him alone. Now, do you want assurance? Faith in Christ alone is the only evidence of salvation. Now, I know this. A true believer will love the brethren. they will love Christ. They will. No doubt about it. John said, if a man doesn't love his brethren, he doesn't love Christ. So that's true. We know that. But we know this also, that no matter how much I love, it's never enough. Is it? So that I can't lean on my love. I can't lean on my love. We know this, that we would hope. And as I've told you, hope and faith go together. You can't separate them. So what then is left for the evidence is faith. Do you believe on the Son of God? This is the evidence that is enough. Go to John chapter 3. Go to John chapter 3. We'll flip to a couple of places and see that faith alone, in faith in Christ alone is enough as all our evidence. John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Listen, he that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, then, faith alone is enough. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Look at Mark chapter 16 and verse 16. Listen, it says, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. So what then is the evidence of salvation? He that believeth. Faith in Christ is the evidence of true conversion. And listen, if you are a sinner without Christ, I beseech you that you should believe on Christ. For God testified of His Son, and His Son has fulfilled all that the law and prophets have spoken. He alone has pleased God. He has satisfied the justice of God for sin. He alone is risen from the dead and sits at the right hand of God. You should believe on Him. But I tell you this, unless God opens your eyes and gives you faith, you will still refuse Him. So then, we must understand this, that faith is not natural. Faith in Christ is supernatural. It is something that God Himself must give you. And when God Himself gives you faith, know this, it is enough. It is enough. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Faith in Him alone is enough, is the evidence. Jesus said this. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent. Paul in Ephesians says this, for by grace you are saved, how? Through faith, and that not of yourselves. It, faith, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. How then did you receive this faith, believer? It was a gift of God. Was a gift of God. And this faith is the testimony of God's Word as well as the experience of the believer from first to last, that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. How did you have this faith? How did you receive this faith? Was it not by the hearing of the Word of God? God's Word was preached. God the Spirit quickened, and you heard the Word, and then you believed on Christ. You believed. True saving faith, then, is the only evidence of salvation, and it only comes to the heart of the sinner by preaching, through the preaching of the gospel. But the preaching of the gospel, it is the chosen means. And I want you to understand this. This faith doesn't come by just any old preaching of any message, but only the gospel message. Only the gospel message. In Jeremiah chapter 23, our Lord berates those false prophets, and He said that if they've got a dream, let them tell their dream. If they've got a vision, let them speak their vision. What is the chaff to the wind? What is the chaff to the fire? My word is a flame and will burn up their false words. And He says this about false preachers. He said, they shall not profit this people at all. I want you to pay attention, because true faith never comes under the sound of false religion. Never comes under the sound of false religion. It only comes through the preaching of the gospel. For without knowledge, faith is impossible. But faith based on knowledge is false faith. You see, there's a lot of people who heard and believe this gospel academically. That's not faith. That's not faith. True faith has to do with the heart. The heart. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. And with mouth, the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. True faith, then, is based on the knowledge of Christ according to the gospel as it is worked in the heart of man. And so then we preach this gospel, and God by grace gives faith. And the moment the Spirit of God speaks life into the heart, listen, a man can do nothing else but believe. Faith is not a decision. Faith is a result of God's work in you. You see, you only believe because the work has already been done. Religion has it backwards. Religion says, well, you believe and then God does the work because of your faith. No, faith is a result of what God has already done in you. This should be a comfort to you, that believe. You believe because God has already done the work in you. This is the evidence that the work is done, is that you believe on Christ. And so, believer, look now, search your own heart. Do you believe on the Son of God? Do you trust your soul to Him that you have not seen? Do you believe the Word of God, which goes against every ounce of your natural senses? If you have come to Christ, if you know and follow Him, then you have this assurance. Your faith is the substance of things hoped. What's hoped for? What do you hope for? What do you hope for? What do you anticipate? I anticipate heaven. I anticipate the glory of Christ, everlasting life, forgiveness of sins, mercy, pardon, justification, redemption. I anticipate all the heavenly blessings that God has in Christ. That's what I anticipate. Now, how do I know I'm going to receive it? I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe. We believe because we understand and trust the revelation of God in Scripture. Now, I like this illustration. There was a British officer that was retired. And according to the British government, there was a book that they had of the names of all of the people that served in the military and retired. And his friend came to him and he said, "You know, have you ever seen that book?" And the old soldier said, "No, never seen it." "Well, how do you know your name is there?" And he said, "Well, every month I receive a check." "Every month I receive a check from the British government. That's how I know my name is there." Believer, your name was written down in heaven before the foundation of the world. Your name was written by God. The Lord Jesus Christ, before you were born, came into this world and died for your sins, suffered for you, justified you before God, rose from the dead, and now sits in heaven unseen by you and intercedes for you. Now, how do you know it was for you? Every day I receive a check, it's called faith. And if my name is written down there, I'm going to receive this faith every day until I die. That's how I know that I know that I know my name is written down. I believe on the Son of God. We know our names are written because God has given us this faith. We know because He has given the Holy Spirit, which is the down payment. He has given the Spirit of God, who keeps us in the faith. I like this. You know, faith in Scripture is always present tense. It's a reason for that. Because faith 10 minutes ago, or faith 10 minutes from now, will not help me. I believe on Christ now. And now. And every time I can say that, I have evidence. So then, how are you to live? By faith. Always believing in Christ alone. That is our evidence. And you know what? We're not alone. Look at this next verse. He said, "For by faith the elders obtained a good report." You know all those Old Testament saints? They didn't have as much as you have. You have, look at this. See this book? You have the full revelation of God. And you take half of this book and you say, okay, this is all they had and very little of this. But I'm going to tell you something. They weren't saved in any different manner than you are. They had all the sights and sounds of the old covenant, but I tell you, they didn't trust in those sights and sounds. They trusted in Christ that stuff pictured. They're saved the same way you are. And you know what they received? When they ended their life, when their life was over, and He's going to go through these ones in this old covenant, and He's going to show us their faith. They lived it. Even so do we live it. We live by faith. We obey the will of God because we believe the Word of God. And they obtained a good report, didn't they? When you think of Abraham, can you not help but smile? Abraham, friend of God. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Enoch walked with God and was translated that he should not see death. These men walked by faith, and you know what they retained? A good report. And you know what it happens to us when we walk by faith and we end by faith? We too obtain a good report. We are a testimony to others, aren't we? Does this not then encourage you to believe? It does. If you have true faith, it only moves you to more faith. More faith. May God even so cause us to trust in Christ more completely. To live by faith, so as to obtain a good report. May God even bless this to our hearts. Let's stand and be dismissed in prayer.